stop buying this?
How are we gonna restore 15 to 20 million jobs? I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leader.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com. You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. And of course, we do everything that we possibly can to gather people together to celebrate the idea of buying American, supporting American, and of course, highlighting the fact like November is American Made Month. December will be National Small Business Month. We're trying whatever we can do in our very, very, you know, limited budget to make sure that the word gets out to the right people. And you are the right people because you're the people who are really spreading the word. I'd like to encourage you to contact others and ask them to tune in. They can go right to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link. However, you can tune in 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from our link on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. Just click on the Listen Anytime link and you'll be able to hear this week's broadcast as well as prior broadcasts, all listed on the broadcast. Once again today, we will have a lot of good conversation with Mark Andel, founder of the Made in America store. I want to remind all of you as we get closer to the holiday season that Mark Andel has a link on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. It is the Made in America store right next to Mark's picture. Pick on that. Click on that, and you will be able to pick out some wonderful, wonderful products that you'll be proud to give to family and friends for the Christmas holiday and throughout the year, not only for the Christmas holiday. But because Mark features 100% American-made, there are no problems with getting supplies in from overseas and all this and that. He is doing 100% with people dealing here in the USA. Also with us is Larkin Connolly, our national small business advocate, always looking at both sides of the fence. And I'm always glad to hear what Larkin has to say. And of course, Larkin, someone stopped me a couple days ago and they want you to, I think it was, yes, a couple weeks ago, you said something about dark money for elected officials. I'd like to mention exactly what that is to see what your reaction to that is. Also, Rich Logis, the principal of RJL Technology Integration, is always with us, who is always there to give us a different point of view, a focused point of view. So we thank Rich for all his efforts. And Henry Chaplinsky is our engineer. He makes us sound great. And I'm Michael Blihash, always proud to be your Wednesday host. But you can contact me anytime simply by sending me a note to Michael at AmericanWorkersRadio.com. I always enjoy hearing comments and suggestions from people. And I do share your comments with people on air and in my travels. People have 1,000 suggestions, and I'm glad that I have 1,000 answers to give. A lot of them come from people who've been through the system, people who've been in management positions, people who have been business people, people who are regular workers who enjoyed doing what they were doing and wanted me to know exactly what they were doing. So I have good answers, but they come right from the people. Well, as we gather on this Wednesday, November the 3rd broadcast, we're marking the third day of National Polish American Heritage Month, and it's also American Made Month. See, I got that Polish Heritage Month in me because I was promoting that on the 7 day a week programs so much. But November is National American Made Month. It's our 8th year of promoting this effort. And also, the idea behind November as American Made Month is to bring attention to the Buy American Made campaign, which is 365 days a year. And as we get closer to the gift-giving season, people are considering what they're going to get. So we're trying to urge them to look for something that's American made. And as I mentioned, Made in America store will not, you know, leave your imagination without a gift to give to someone. November is also America's private sector business's opportunity to really hear from people, know that we're encouraging people to purchase the products that they are making and assembling in America. There's nothing worse than being underappreciated. And I want to bring up a few things today. Some of them may have people hit the roof, but that's okay. Hitting the roof is better than not hitting the roof at all. And as I mentioned last week, the only way the media advertises efforts like November, American Made Month, or any other efforts is to pay very high cost advertising according to the regular rate chart. So we are really depending on people like you, our panel members, and all of our supporters to spread the word, because advertising would be a great thing, but it's really outside the budget at this point. And if you want to do a newspaper, you have to go to a national paper, and there's not too many of them that are received by the general public actually going out to buy those papers. It's everything is, you know, sort of, I'll look it up online and forget about the newspaper. And the aftermath of the pandemic has really more Americans asking what incentives were offered to America's businesses to urge them to remain here in the United States of America rather than move everything, lock, stock, and barrel, all the machinery, everything, to places around the world to lower costs and allow them to, instead of remaining here in the United States. We've been doing some research on that in the last few weeks, and we found that it's very few efforts were done. We don't have people in states or cities or on a national level. There's been no real documentation on incentives to maintain and restore industries in America. In fact, if anything, the people downgraded our trades and the schools and things like that because they said, oh, everything is going to be coming in from foreign countries now. And so many of our companies were bought up by foreign countries. So they now control everything. There's no board of people that meets here in America. It's now a group of supervisors or board members in some other countries, and they decide what will be made, what will be put on the production line for any given holiday of the year. It's very little of that being done here in the United States, and I think that is unfortunate. But before I go forward, I'm going to ask Mark Andel. Mark, how are you doing? And happy November as American Made Month.
Yeah, how you doing, Mike? Thank you. Great introductory. Mike, always fired up here. We've had a lot going on, and the movements in my 11 years with the Made in America stores has never been stronger as we talk every week. So that's great to see. Shoppers are absolutely shopping Made in America for two reasons. They believe, but also hard to get the products that are stuck on the shipping containers, of course, that aren't in the stores. So it's more available to them, and Made in America. And like you said, we're 100% Made in America. Our store, our concept happens to be 100%. So that means we do not need shipping containers at all. We're not relying on any components or any part of our product that's sold in the Made in America stores. But everybody else isn't in the same shape. So if you make a product that's deemed Made in America, it could have 35 to 40% of components made from overseas. So if that component to finish your product is stuck on a shipping container, you have a problem. And I bring that up because we sell the Boss snowplows, and a lot of people know the Boss definitely up north here, and we're one of their top distributors. They're made in the UP, but there are a few components, harnesses and things that are made overseas, and I've been on their advisory board. Of course, I always picked on them for that, Mike. I wanted to keep everything here.
Yes.
But now it hurts because I took 300 plows in June. Very tough climate in the plow industry because there's no new trucks and used trucks. Very difficult to get, and they're not coming in on time. So if you ordered a truck in June, you need it for the fall for a snowplow season in December. They might not show up until February, March next year, which is a huge problem in our industry. But also, you've got this component shortage, so you're trying to complete a product that's made in the United States, but you can't get the final component. No matter how big or small it is, that component, though, stops you from selling, for me, a whole plow unit, which is a major problem and hurts sales. So we're just hitting that heavy now. We're starting to find that that stress of not being able to get a final component to finish a plow sale, and it's really hitting us. You know, and we've talked about this for a long time, and I'd like to take a minute and tell the people, you know, what caused this climate we're in, Mike, because I'm in the game. I've got General Welding and Fabricating, two plants. We've got Made in America, four stores, plus the website, and open up these stores. But I want to remind the people, and to you and Larkin and to Rich and the team, you know, so first we've got the pandemic that hit over 18 months ago, right, March 2020, and then you got the deep freeze of Texas, which stopped the polypropylene plants and slowed that whole movement, caused another bubble, and then the Suez Canal. You got the election change, and, you know, elections have consequences, as Rich always said, and for me, the administration, the new administration, don't believe as much in the oil and mining work and the military funding, so that absolutely affects. And then you got the, you know, the workers, no workers, because they were overpaid, a lot of them, with extra money to get them through the pandemic, but then a lot of them refused to go back to work. And then you got the vaccine mandates where people, a lot of walkouts, believe it or not, but like Moog and Northrop Grumman, I deal with these walkouts, and the vaccine mandates have caused more worker shortage and more skilled trades shortage because they're not finishing the product. So you add them six things up. What it do? It gave us rapid inflation. Products are going, I had steel was 47 cents before the pandemic, and last week we hit a high of $1.58 a pound. So from 50 cents to $1.60 a pound, never seen before for mild steel. And we've got product shortage. So all the six top items, the umbrella there caused rapid inflation and product shortage, which we haven't seen the worst of, Mike. You know, the best thing out of it, if there's a great thing, the demand for our Made in America products, all my 500 vendors are busting at their seams. They've got more demand than they've had in 10, you know, or two decades, you know. Great demand, which is growing our supply chain because they have to. People are going, wow, why don't we make things? So it really was a wake-up call, Mike, that needed to happen. But unfortunately, you know, rebuilding the supply chains and the middle class takes time. We're watching history, as I say, but I've got a big meeting with the or an interview with the Alliance of American Manufacturing, Scott Paul, tomorrow. But the steel crisis for us, and, you know, you could talk about polypropylene, wood, cardboard, all these components that there's a shortage, but not being able to get steel. And if you add, if the you know, the infrastructure bill passes and they try to build these steel bridges, that's going to stress out our steel industries even more. We can't touch it today. Could you imagine needing steel for bridges tomorrow?
That's
so
right.
We've got huge, huge future problems coming up. It's not doom and gloom, but I say buckle up. You've got to look at this all. What I just said, I wish people would talk about on national TV, because I'm living it, Mike. You can't get steel. I'm getting refused on steel. And, you know, this is just the beginning. Next year, I just had my boss snowplow go up $700 this past Monday, plus they put another 10.25% charge on yesterday. That means back at the Erie County Fair when I was selling snowplows, I was given $400 off. You're paying $1,100 more than you did in August for a snowplow,
wow,
which was generally about $7,000. Now they're going to be $8,000 to $9,000. This is nothing you've ever seen in the history of the United States, especially me in my 35 years.
And still, it's not being properly addressed.
No, not at all. No leadership.
You know, I've been following this national election, which was held yesterday a little bit, and so many people are now changing their ideas. I don't like what's happening in the administration and all. But that's wonderful that they came out, but it's not going to do anything until we get our businesses to understand that it's better for them to be in America with incentives to stay in America. There's a lot of new products, Mark, that you have a choice. Make it in America or make it somewhere else. And these are products that have not been on the market before. Why can't they be made here in the United States
and Mike,
with
I
an incentive to stay here in the United States?
Yeah, as I brought up last week and before, my 500 vendors, that's not an exaggeration, I'm a little over 500 vendor manufacturers I deal with for the Made in America store alone, they are not publicly traded. And again, many people are slaves to the shareholder. These Made in America privately owned companies are not, and they have great people. That's why local is so important, buying local, buying Made in America is so important, to support these private industries and private companies, because that's the fabric of America. So we're watching a lot of history. I, you know, just mentioned a lot of things that should be on national TV, and when we talk about leadership, first you got to see and, you know, kind of understand the disconnects and what's going on right now. And we didn't even talk about the fuel increases. I remember I was heavily, like, larking in the oil mining industry. These gas prices are driving everything else even higher. We had our can of tuna fish, American tuna, which was, it's pole-caught tuna fish. It's the best. We sell pallets of it through the Made in America store. It just went up $1.12 Friday, a can, which was already at $3.50, because, and they broke it down. The six items that make the can, the lid, the ingredients to get the you know, processing, it came to $1.18 a can. So, I mean, we're getting letters. I've got 100 emails of increases. Most of them started immediately. Some are waiting to January 1. So, you know, yesterday's Happy Meal is never going to be the same price again.
Never, never. And, you know,
it's just not.
You know, you mentioned about the shareholders. That's one thing. However, a lot of the stuff that we're seeing, even like this Toyota battery plant and all, has nothing to do with Americans. They are bringing that over to America to avoid the taxes and the shipping costs. And now with the international countries talking about a 15% tax across the board on many of these countries that haven't been paying anything, it's going to be very interesting. Yeah. It's going to be very interesting. In fact,
you know, I want to mention, you know, people are tracking their shipping container that I know. And if you've got food or a product that's dated, you've got problems there. And then you bring up the vehicles that are still sitting in the Kentucky Derby lots or all around, thousands of vehicles with no computer chips. Again, the birds are doing their job on them. The sun is doing their job. They're dirty. They're not new. They're having arguments. They want dealers to put in the computer chips when they get them, but then there's legalities. Nobody wants to put the safety device computers in. There's so many things going on for 2022. You know, buckle up. You know, you got to be educated. You got to face it. But we've got to be discussing that on national TV levels right now.
Well, you know, national TV does not want to anger their people. And a lot of those advertisers that are advertising are not making American-made products. Secondly, the shareholders in some of these national networks, they are not Americans, and they do not want these hosts talking anything that would bring attention to the fact that people in foreign countries are controlling what is coming to America. The days of people sitting around a big table in New York, that is sort of past history. The pandemic gave a report, which was interesting, that there are more people that are outside the country when they were doing the virtual meetings, running things, than we understand. Because as people aged out of the corporations and sold the corporations to foreign countries, they did this to us without anyone stopping them and without most people knowing. Majority of the companies that we're looking at, those beautiful, well-known names, they're not even owned by America. And those people who run them are not even, they have never been to America in 5-10 years. They're not interested.
And one of my, I want to bring up, I got so many shipping container stories, but again, we don't need shipping containers. I just love that. But my friend, you know, their business is putting up holiday ornaments and lights for people. You know, they service people. You don't want to put your lights up. You know, you hire a company to decorate your house. Well, there's four shipping containers stuck outside of California, $6 million in Christmas ornaments on them, and they can't get them. And they're going to get them in about the third week of December, possibly. That was the last date. So they've missed a total season of putting these ornaments up and decorating the houses. So, you know, that's another business loss with sales. You can't do anything. But here, yet, if we would have built half of them here, or, you know,
exactly,
had another source, you could have at least, you could have saved some of his business. I've got story after story of that, Mike, and it just needs to be looked at.
I'm going to turn to Larkin for a second, but I want to tell you this, that all the big companies that had their Christmas items and all from a year or a year and a half ago that they weren't able to sell, they stored them and they put them out real early this year. I mentioned a couple weeks ago when I went into a couple big stores, I'm talking about the big name stores. I thought it was week before Christmas or something. It was music playing there with the Christmas trays, you know, the Christmas music. And I thought, wow, we didn't even hit Halloween. And here we are selling this kind of stuff. They pulled everything out of their warehouses and said, buy it now because you may not be able to get it come December the 1st. So they really made a bonanza on all the past stuff that they had maybe for 2-3 years, 4 years in the sitting around. Everybody this year, this is on sale, that's on sale. Christmas trees, that those plastic Christmas trees, the artificials, they were $160. Now they're up to $300. So, yeah, it's totally crazy because I was looking for a particular tree to get for a place rather than to get a live one for them. And, the tree, it's insane. And then after the tree is in your house, you have to store it. You have to put it aside, and it becomes, I myself will only have live trees, but some people are saying, well, this year, maybe I'll just do an artificial. I said, okay, can you price it out? I said, okay. I went, wow, forget it. Larkin Connolly, I have a question for you, but I want to know first what's on your mind.
What's on my mind? Good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
Rich, if you're there, Mike. What's on my mind? I guess the headache I've had for the last 3 days. Other than that, not much.
What gave you that headache? I hope it's nothing foreign.
No, it wasn't anything foreign. I'm not. If I knew the answer to that, I'd probably have a medical degree. But whatever, they come and go. What's on my mind? I don't want you to forget. You know, you keep on saying, let's just get Americans to do this. Let's just open new factories, la, la, la. We live in an international economy. There's no getting around that.
Mm-hmm.
It's never going to go backwards. As a matter of fact, it will take a monumental effort to get back 50% of it. And I mean monumental. So don't forget, this whole thing is surrounded by the fact that, allow me to repeat, you must compete.
Absolutely.
And we have to learn how to compete on the national stage. As a country, we've got to figure out, I don't know, special products that we know that we have that nobody else has, or that we can make, or we have the technology for. I'm not sure, but it's going to take an awful lot of thought and an awful lot of the alliance of American manufacturers and those people. And when you talk to your friend tomorrow, I guess you said, I want you to tell him I said hello. Tell Scott hello from me. So your question. You have a question, Michael.
Yes, I do. Larkin, we had a little powwow, and this was prior to yesterday's election. And people were saying, look, Michael, and I had a few people looking to see why America is a free market economy and what's the benefit to us. So there's been some discussion that it might be time for us to become a balanced-based economy, as it was written many years ago in the Declaration of Independence. That would See, what happened over the years, from what I'm just giving you my humble, you know, opinion of, is we wanted so much to be this free market economy that we promoted that. And we became a global economy in the process. But we never thought about being a balanced-based economy, as other countries are. You know, Larkin, in some European countries, they won't allow the product to be sold in the country unless there is already a competitive product made in that country. And then you still pay the VAT tax on it. Now, they're talking about this 15% tax to help the countries, you know, that are bringing in all this stuff tax-free, you know, who I'm talking about without saying it. And everyone is saying this is just going to be another step toward a balanced-based economy. Why can't we get right to it? Maybe get a national referendum where everything is sold in America. You have to have 30, 40, 50% of it made and certified as being made or assembled here in the United States, which was, by the way, the point of the founders of the country. They wanted to break away from England. They wanted to have their own, and they wanted to promote America and American made first and only. And only if it was not available to bring it in from other countries. Now, tell me what your feeling is about a balanced-based economy.
And I'm going to have to ask you, what do you mean a balanced?
In other words, 50% of everything sold in America certified as made in America.
Well, first of all, anytime you start to legislate business, anytime you start to try to regulate business and the way it acts, you move a little bit further away from that free enterprise issue, and it becomes a little bit easier to beat the economy, beat the consumer. And no, I absolutely disagree with that. And I was aghast when Biden suggested a tax to equal out the movement of product worldwide. So,
well, let me say this, Larkin. It's not Biden. This conversation's been going on for about 6 or 7 years. It's not Biden, because I deal with some, you know, countries in the Eastern Europe. They too are very interested, because certain countries begins with a C, is trying to bring everything in the kitchen sink over to their country, and they don't want it. They don't want it because they want to keep their people employed. They want those dollars circulating in that country. Why can't we have that mentality to circulate as much of our dollars as possible in the United States of America?
When China pulls those gimmicks of, you know, subsidizing their own industry to keep the price low so the product will move and the cash flow will continue, that's as big a cheat as it is if you say to Americans or American businesses or whatever, American associations, you have to buy 50% American. That's not fair. We live in a free world. Some people are freer than others. What happens if China cheats, that doesn't mean that the best response we have to correct China's cheating is for us to cheat.
Well, no, if China's cheating, they have to pay that 15%.
Well, they have to pay a tariff.
Right. It's 15%, whatever you want to call it, tariff or whatever. I'm all for it.
Well, that's just not the way to do it.
Because
the way to do it is the way this country was built. I mean, we built this country by kicking the booty off of everybody else in the world. You've got the agrarian where everybody lived at home and they ate what they grew and they, you know, went into the country store and went to the guy who made horseshoes to make knives and things, that different steel things that they needed. Now all of a sudden America moved to interstate trade, and all of a sudden New York started to trade with Pennsylvania, and oh my Lord, We have rivers and railroads and holy mackerel. And then all of a sudden it became regional trading. And then first thing you know, we're buying fruit from California. Now we're not competing with California, and we are to some degree. Florida wakes up every morning and goes, now what the heck are we going to do to beat California? They've got more land planted than we do. You know, their season is a little bit more positive than ours. The only thing we have going for us is rainfall. So how do we beat them? So Florida's competing. The Florida orange growers or whatever are competing with the people in California. Now that's even gone even further. Now South America's growing everything that we eat in this country. And we have to compete. I don't know a better way to say it than, you know, allow me to repeat. We have to compete.
Larkin,
we have to find out through natural terms how our economy is going to become better and stronger than the Chinese economy. As long as, you know, there are international rules that keep people from really cheating their butt off. But what makes China a cheater and us not a cheater when we turn around and say you have to buy half of what you sell or consume from American sources? That's not right.
Well,
it's not competing.
The thing is, Larkin, in the past, there were incentives for people to stay here in the United States of America. They were always given some kind of DCED type grants, the community development stuff. There's none of that to speak of as it was in the past. What they did is they focused people to leave the United States to get the cheapest stuff that you can, bring it in, and when you bring it in, you can sell it at the same price as if it was made here in the United States of America. By the way, all these containers stuck on these ships is teaching America a lesson. It's teaching American consumers a lesson that they're, the price of the containers, you know, every day the container is stuck on that ship at sea, the price of all of that continues to grow. They have to pay their staff. They have to pay the gas. They have to do all that to keep that container in the thing. They're saying what costs $4,000 a container because of all these days at sea and all could go up to $40,000 a container. That's not going to be an incentive, but...
You know, I've heard Washington tell me that the reason we have this supply chain problem is because of the pandemic. And while I think the pandemic might have had a little something to do with it, what happened during the pandemic? Did the guys who were trucking this stuff off of the shores and through the warehouses and out to the stores, did they all of a sudden sell their trucks? Did they all of a sudden sell their trucking companies? Did they decide to turn the value of all their tractors into cash and sold everything, and we got a bunch of trucks sitting around that won't move? Somebody explain that to me.
Well,
there's a slight relationship between the fact that there are no $7, $8, $9 an hour jobs anymore.
No.
The pandemic proved one thing to the worker. I'm a little bit more valuable than they've made me feel in the past.
Right.
Now, all of a sudden, they're all quitting and deciding, this, I'm going to wait and go to work for McDonald's for $15 an hour. Or for Buc-ee's, a Texas chain, where the start is $16 an hour.
Now, I'm going to ask you the second part of the question. There's two parts of the question. The one is about the referendum idea of 50-50. Now, can you tell me what benefit has this free market economy had on America in the last 30 years?
None.
But that's what I'm
because
saying. People said maybe it's a time for a new idea. You know, we're talking about socialism, everything. This, we need socialism for medicine. We need this, that. Well, maybe it's time for us to relook at some of the things that and make it not worthwhile for a company to move out of a particular country by having that 15% put on them. By the way, this has not only been talked about in the last year or two. They've been talking about this for a long time. Not only the G20, other countries who are seeing that other that manufacturers from all over the world were able to bring in products to their particular countries and get it, bring it at such cheap prices and have the people in their countries make a killing on those products, and the tax is the same. Yes.
Are you done?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm telling you now, I want you to remember this. If you pass a referendum that dictates how American people and industry and all the rest of that buy and sell, you're no better than China. You're no better than they are.
Right now, China is controlling a lot of the products coming into America and around the world. They've been quietly doing this for 30 years. Very quietly.
But I mean, you're not reading the right stuff.
You're not looking. You have to look at the labels on the products to see what is what. And you have to look at who owns these particular industries now. What was in America 30 years ago is not owned by those people anymore. When those people aged out, they just decided to sell it lock, stock, and barrel to somebody else. We can't allow that in a country for our children, our grandchildren, their children, and their grandchildren. Something has to be done.
No kid. Has the state of Pennsylvania, or even more specific, the city of Philadelphia, thought about hiring a real estate business startup guru and to make a list of all the property that has been abandoned in that city for people to move to lower taxes, for people to move to out of the country for lower costs? Has anybody decided to make a list and then go out and try to find people to fill these buildings?
You're exactly right, Larkin. A movement in Philadelphia where they're going to take a few acres and try to make a new industrial park. Everybody
is
saying they already did part of it at the Navy Yard, as you know. They already started that at the Navy Yard. They're starting another industrial park where they're going to try to encourage people to stay in the city, work in the city, and get the city back to life. Right now,
the Navy Yard has involved small business as much as, I mean, they haven't done anything. There are no small businesses down there.
Well,
there's no small, but I know half the people down there.
Well, it was a first stab at it, but no one offered them incentives as well. Give you an incentive. Come to Philadelphia, come to Chicago, come to New York, and you will be able to, based upon your income and what you put out for employees and all, will give you an incentive to make sure that you grow, continue to grow, and you stay here in our state. Where are those incentives? The only incentive that they won in Washington is how we're going to attack the people for more tax money. The rich, the this, the that.
Whoa. Washington's guilty of that. But you don't think that Philadelphia is responsible for that?
Well, sure. They're all working together.
My wife moved here from being a registered nurse in Philadelphia to being a registered nurse in Florida. And she got a 12% increase without a single dime raise in her paycheck.
Well,
and it was all taxes.
That's right.
All taxes.
Yeah.
So,
I'm
not coming to Philadelphia to start a small business so that I can pay the city outrageous taxes so they can have a city council of 18 members of city council, 18. And they each have a staff of 5. And they have cars and protection. And, I mean, you get rid of city council, bury it down to 3 people who are going to make some intelligent decisions and move the city forward. and its approach to commerce, and not worry so much about being a city that
you're right,
time.
Larkin. You're right.
No,
and
no, no.
The 18
so,
members not, were up there for all those years because years ago when they put that system in place, there was no communication, instant communication, cell phones, computers. Today, you don't need all those city council people. Four is more than enough.
Michael, may I? May
North,
I,
south, Larkin, east, west. So, yes, Rich.
Good morning. Larkin, I'm so happy you brought that up, actually, this morning. Good morning. I'm just chomping at the bit here. Sorry to interrupt, because I've got a controversial statement to make, Michael.
Yes.
I'm going to make it on air right now. Good morning to everyone.
Rich Loges is going to make a controversial statement. I don't believe.
Got a controversy. Some people are going to be really happy about what I'm going to say. Some people are going to be really unhappy. That's how you know it's accurate. I always say, you want to know how accurate something is, see if it's hated as much as it's loved.
Mm.
You know who the big winner in last night's elections were, Mark? Want to venture a guess at a name? Who was the big winner last night?
The big winner last night.
Former President Trump. Larkin.
Why was he the big winner?
What, Larkin, hold on. Please. You want to know who the big loser also last night was? Former President Trump. You see, Michael, there are enough voters in the country, state to state, who want what you're talking about, what Mark talks about, what Larkin, all of us, what fill-in-the-blank talks about. There are enough of those voters. That is the agenda, the policies of former President Trump. But do you know what voters don't want any longer, Mark? Former President Trump, the candidate. So as much as last night is a wake-up call for the Democrats, the question, Larkin, is it a wake-up call for the GOP? Because as I see it last night, any hopes, any yearnings of a 2024 Trump candidacy should be laid to rest today by the party. Because it's not the policy, Michael. It's not the ideas. It's not the agenda that enough voters are against. They're simply against the candidate himself.
And also, now, but Rich, I want to add one thing to that.
Sure.
That people are saying, they tell me all the time, Michael, that individual had 4 years to do his thing. Was anything done to help keep businesses in America? Was anything done to do something where we're going to attract with incentives businesses from abroad? No.
Well, that's the challenge now. So if you look at a state like Virginia, which, to its credit, Virginia had one election. They had one election to try to stymie becoming an irreversible New York and California type state, Larkin. They had one cycle to do it. They did it last night. New Jersey's election is pretty close. In the end, the incumbent will probably win. The question will be then, what will the New Jersey GOP do to build upon it? Or will they all just pat themselves on the ass and say, good luck, nice try, see you in 4 years.
And see you in 4 years. This is the problem with these politicians. They live for the campaign and the election, and then it's forgotten. Today,
Michael,
should be the day they rebuild. Today, the day they should rebuild what they are going to do to try to make sure that their message not only gets out there, but it's the loudest message anybody can do. One of the things that was...
It goes to show you, though, Michael. It goes to show you, though. And this is where the punditry world really fails, both on the Dem and the Dem side and the right. The talking points, Larkin, of your Foxes and MSNBCs and CNN, those talking points are shared by a very small percentage of the electorate. How many times, Mark, have you ever had a conversation someone came on your bus, came into the store, and said, hi, Mark, I want to shop here with you to go and fight tyranny. How many times has anyone said that to you in your life? Tell me. Tell me. When? That's pundit talk. That's campaign talk. No one says, Mark, I decided to buy wigwam socks today to fight the despotic tyranny. No, said no one ever. No one says that. Larkin, when you came down here and Joe became a nurse, you know, when Joe went to go and help someone feel better, did the person say, stop stabbing me with those life-saving drugs? Medical tyranny. No one said that. You know who says that? Like, Fox News and Breitbart and these places, just like on the flip side of it. Normal people don't think, Michael, that men should be able to use women's bathrooms. I know it's an MSNBC talking point, but no one's feet hit the floor today except for a tiny percentage of the electorate and said, boy, my goal today is to make sure more men use women's bathrooms. So to your point, Michael, to your point.
The thing that offends me more, The thing that offends me more than anything is the fact that politicians think that men using girls' bathrooms and vice versa is more important than immigration, the way we're spending money on creating debt, the fact that here's my amazing fact for the day. Both parties in Virginia spent combined $115 million to elect a governor. They shattered records everywhere. $115. Now, you want to win it that badly? I mean, I can't imagine anybody running and spending that kind of money for a job. It really kind of amazes me. And I know that there's political punditry and political things that come out of those kind of races. But $115 million, just give me $100 million of that dollars and allow me to feed, educate, and improve the lives of people in Florida that need that money desperately. And yet Biden turns around and goes, well, I'm doing that. I'm giving them free kindergarten. That's not a problem of his. If kindergarten needs to be free, then the local Board of Education needs to find the money to open up kindergartens or pre-K or preschool or whatever it is. It's not a federal problem. It's a state problem. Rich, I couldn't possibly agree with you more. The elections last night put an umlaut, an exclamation point on what I've been saying for the last 7 months. Donald Trump will not be the candidate for the Republican presidency in 2024. He has totally and completely mishandled that time between first presidency and potential second presidency by running around claiming that he didn't lose the election. Are you dizzy? You lost the election because Congress put the stamp on the election and said, allow it to be said. And now all of a sudden, what's he planning to do about it anyway? That's not a damn thing he can do about it. But
I was thinking about you, right, when I was thinking about this last night and how you've been saying that. And sometimes, you know, politics, like everything in life, is sales, Michael. Everything is selling. Everything is selling. So the problem isn't the product that Trump brought in. The problem isn't the product, the agenda. The problem is the salesman. I don't care how much you like food at a restaurant. If you went with your wife and the owner of the restaurant insulted your wife, doesn't matter how good your food is. You're not coming back. You ain't coming back.
Mm-hmm.
If Mark told me to go, if I went to Mark to buy barbecue sauce and Mark said, take a hike, I wouldn't buy from Mark anymore Not because I don't like your products, Mark. It's because I don't like you.
Right.
That's why. That's why last night should be the final time that we ever talk about former President Trump as a candidate. And I hope that the madness that he's gone into can reverse itself so he can then become a better salesman for an agenda that very clearly has a lot of voters who want it, Larkin, but they don't want the salesperson anymore.
And that's what I said about Biden and the pandemic. He did a horrible job of selling vaccines and selling closing down businesses and everything else. He made it into an argument because he refused to answer questions. He refused to reason with the press or the American public. He did a horrible sales job. Do I think everybody should get vaccinated? Yes. Do I understand when somebody looks at me square in the eye and says, I don't believe in vaccines, I don't like them? I had a girl tell me the other day, I was just talking to her, and I said, I don't know how it came up, but I said, are you vaccinated? And she said, no. And I said, well, why not? And she said, it has nothing to do with anything except I'm trying to get pregnant. And nobody can answer the question as to what that vaccine can do or not do with my attempt or my ultimate pregnancy. Period. Amen. So I'll take that chance. That's the chance I plan to take.
Hmm.
And if everybody else gets vaccinated, well, why doesn't she concern herself about giving COVID to everybody else? Because everybody else who's used their head's been vaccinated. It just makes no sense to me whatsoever. He did a horrible job of selling it, and he did a horrible job of identifying the audience he was speaking to and what he needed to tell them about the vaccine. And that's the problem in Washington. It's not Democrat. It's not Republican. It's exactly what Rich says. Okay, you won Virginia. You won New Jersey. And Donald Trump did not appear on the stump in either one of those states. As a matter of fact, last week says that if you lose in Virginia, it's on you because you didn't use me. Well, guess what? He decided, I'm not going to chastise the guy in public, but I'm just not going to bring up. It's not an issue. And that's what he kept on saying. Donald Trump's not an issue here. The issue is Virginia and the governorship.
And what he, and by the way, and what that person had to say, he was going to offer. That's what the people wanted to hear. You know, Larkin, in Pennsylvania, we had a number of school board elections. School boards turned around in this election yesterday like you would not believe. The good part of it is they don't want certain things put into the schools. They don't want ideas put into the heads of their children by the teachers. And many of them discussed maybe getting professionals in to discuss the trades. Excellent. Interesting.
Well, Michael, I
80% of those old beasts that were just sitting around demanding, oh, we want critical this and that, they got the boot yesterday. B-O-O-T. Yes.
Politics and elections are oftentimes reactionary. And the one polling, Larkin, the one poll in an election that I always look at is the exit polling, because traditionally it's always been amongst the most accurate of the polls.
Well, I don't.
And you know what? And you know what the number one, and in the, and this was, okay, so the, it was a CBS Washington Post poll, okay, so I'll preface, so just so everyone knows it, and I read today, and the CBS Washington Post exit poll showed that the primary motivator for voting for Youngkin in Virginia, the primary motivator was dissatisfaction with Biden. All somebody needs, Michael, to vote is a motivator.
Motivator. The gasoline alone, $1.35 more than it was 10 months ago.
It's punditry. Okay. It's punditry and campaign candidate talk. Nobody votes on policy. No one says, "Well, how did so and so vote on the raise the debt vote 14 years ago?" Okay, people vote based on, they look at the candidate and they say, "I prefer he or she." People make decisions on what they believe, not necessarily what is accurate. So it was a reactionary night, and it's, as a side note, Larkin, you can go back many, many presidents that the president's party who's in office, Virginia governorship, always flips to the other party. There's only one time in the last 12 elections that didn't happen. But I'm not trying to take away from the win of Virginia. I'm just saying that historically what happened last night in Virginia has historically happened many, many times before. But the reasons can differ.
So and here, and I, Richard, I think you're spot on, is that the proof in this time, the proof anytime you have a swing like this during the midterm, the proof is, what are the Republicans going to do with this victory? What are they going to do besides throw a couple parties and find something to do with the dark money that they have left over? Yeah, what are they going to do? Where are they going? What's going to change? This makes no sense. More importantly, what is the other party going to do? Well, you got to know that Pelosi's planning her retirement, of course.
Thank God.
But that's, you know, whatever. I don't know.
Ladies and gentlemen, as you can hear by the music, it's time for us to say goodbye for today. Kindly go out and support November as Made in America Month. Do what you can to look for the American Made label. Speak up where you shop, because you and I, your family and friends, can do more if we stick together. Let's help the people out there trying to make America their home and remain their home. Until this Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday at 11, I wish you and yours the very best. May God bless you and God bless all of your family and friends. Thank you, Larkin. Thank you, Rich. And thank you, Mark. And thank you, Henry. Another great day here on 860 AM.
All right, guys. Have a great week.
Thanks, everyone.